We now turn to the fifth bowl of wrath, and I'm reading verses 10 and 11. And the fifth poured out his bowl upon the throne of the wild beast, and his kingdom was darkened, and they chewed their tongues from their pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their works. Now the throne of the wild beast, I think here makes it clear that the wild beast, back in Revelation 13, is a man. I'm sure that, at least I hope you came to that conclusion when we were looking at Revelation 13, that first beast. And it's also a kingdom, but you have to have the king first. Now, his kingdom, we're told, was darkened. Now, that's a strange darkness, which might be called black light. We have that today. Can't see anything, but it's light, nevertheless. It's a frightening thing as the sun's wattage is increased during this period. Why, it gets darker instead of lighter. The heat will be greater, but the light will be less. And there's a remarkable similarity to the darkness of Egypt during the ninth plague, by the way. And the Old Testament's prophets had a great deal to say about it. I can't quote all of them, but in Isaiah 62, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." And there are any number of scriptures that we could give you. In Joel, we saw that, by the way. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land travel, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness." And this is the picture. Nahum mentioned it. Amos mentioned it. Zephaniah mentioned it. And this now, John is merely saying, this is where it fits into the program of God in the great tribulation period. Now, our Lord confirmed it. He said, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And they chewed their tongues from their pain." Just think of the intensity of the suffering that's caused by all the bowls of wrath. And what does it do? Well, it doesn't affect man. Man in his wickedness and his deep depravity does not turn to God. Now, there are two self-evident facts at this point. God is righteous in pouring out the bowls of wrath. And let's remember that. And Jesus is the judge here. He is in charge. He's handing out the punishment. Now, men are not led to repentance by suffering. Paul spoke of that. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And here it is. It doesn't change man.